reads the mood of the membership. You know, the other day, the Barbados, the National Union of Public Workers, held a kind of sick out, took industrial action, and from all observations, it didn't fly with a lot of people. So you need to be sensitive to how your members feel. Sometimes it isn't that they are not opposed to what has been done, but they can also reach that point of believing, look, what's the sense? You know, we will find another way to fight this.
But the same thing, what you just mentioned there, Ray, don't buy into that, you know. Mm-hmm. Because don't forget, at that point, the time government was thinking about sending home public workers, and no one, especially I, wasn't expecting the public servants to come out and support Mr. McDowell. They'll support him, remain inside, but I know he still had their full support. They're not too worried about it. But people are trying to lose the jobs. But all in all, I end by telling this to David.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is a serious reflection on the mood of the public servants as far as this government is concerned. I mean, just merely look at the outcome of these elections. It tells me that is the mood.
But let me ask you this question. Do you get any... What do you see that suggests to you that the government is bothered?
I mean, the government bothered by anything? Nothing. Nothing at all. Because, I mean, I as I say to people, let me tell you something, this 90-day period, I think is the most disgraceful thing that ever happened to the democracy of Barbados. Because the 90-day period is only for emergency. This government shouldn't be in office at this particular time. And I think the Prime Minister
has overstepped the boundary, then again it comes right back to reading the mood of a people. If he is prepared to do what he has done, then he must have interpreted the Barbadian mood and psyche to be such that he could do this and still win an election.
I honestly believe the people of Barbados should deal with this government, and not only Prime Minister, because he is not responsible alone. The entire cabinet, every single member of the Democratic Party should feel the full weight of the people of this country, because they are aiding and abetting him as well. Otherwise, they would have taken action long ago. The Prime Minister is only one man. So, Donvalin,
but they're reading. But you know, I know you would call his name because you
of
know.
Of course, he is the leader.
You campaigning against him a lot. But, you know, their reading of the situation seems to be completely different. They seem to believe that all is well and they can withstand this particular difficulty, if it is a difficulty at all. So we wait and see. You know, Donald Trump has rewritten the book on politics, in a sense, in the United States, and maybe the Democratic Labour Party will show us some new things and some new approaches that will be able to fight against all of those odds that the BLP people and others may believe are standing in their way. Let's wait and see.
Yeah, they're going to close by saying this to you, huh?
Yeah.
Now, to be honest with you, I know you're telling me a canvas against me.
No, I am not telling you. You know that you are.
But David,
and
you know
people who listen to this program know full well that you are.
Yeah, but David, to be honest with you, you know that Minister Innes talking truth with two mouths too.
Well, I know, but what has happened here is that you have now taken my mention of that as license now to go full scale into your anti Innes campaign. Well, let's leave it there.
Thank you, David.
Okay, thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Innes. How are you doing, sir?
I'm well, and you?
I'm remarkable, man.
You are?
Yes, sir.
Well, at least you are the only person I hear say that.
But I don't have the right to have an assessment of my own self.
Yes, but you know, right. You know, so what
I'm
would really,
to take up my horse's mouth.
You know, in all the years that you've been calling this program,
uh-huh.
I am yet to hear anybody else call and say, man, that man, Raul, man, is a remarkable man. Or the contribution that he made today was absolutely remarkable.
But you yourself have done this.
What?
When you said the other day when we were conference,
because it was remarkable in its extreme.
You said, well, Raul, you're bad, man.
You're bad, but being bad doesn't mean that you're remarkable.
But when you said bad, it's synonymous with remarkable, because when we use the term bad, it means that you're good. Nowhere to come.
Okay, who you call this is today?
Listen, this gentleman that is becoming a relentless in his call for this, but this constitutional crisis.
Who said that there's a constitutional crisis?
There's a gentleman that spoke to you about 3 callers back or so.
Yes.
He was talking about Mr. Alain.
Yes.
Wrote this, and he's on this constitutional crisis. And he's attempted it. He has attempted it sometime last week with Mr. Sanker Price. And Mr. Sanker Price readily asked, what constitutional crisis? Unlike yourself, who didn't ask the side. He's with this persistence. But I want to ask some questions here. You can imagine that, as the gentleman is putting it, there's all this constitutional crisis and all this constitutional mix-up and what have you. And all the experts in the island, the opposition, et cetera, knowing what he says is saying to be true, and allowing this to keep prevailing. You understand what I'm trying to say? But he's in this constitutional crisis. And all the experts and things saying, stop it right now, because this is constitutional. I come and make or whatever. Because they know that what he's saying, it doesn't have any bearing. Because I'll say to you.
Okay, suppose I agreed with you. Let's stop it there right now and say, I agree with you. There's no constitutional crisis, because the Constitution, as interpreted by many people, allows the Prime Minister to do what he has done. Does it begin and end with whether he is constitutionally correct, in your judgment? You're a politician on the ground. You know, you put on your guns again after lying dormant for quite some time. But as elections,
you're with that all the time.
As elections approach, you put on your guns.
To the fore. Sorry, please. You say what you want, yes, sir.
So the critical point is
that I've been relentless.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
If you have been as relentless on the ground as you claim to have been in the period when I thought you were sleeping.
The evidence is there, sir.
Okay. It therefore means that you are having a sense of how people feel about this on the ground. What are they telling you?
Look, I don't want to have a lot to do with this. I am saying come shortly, we're going to have an election. Everybody's going to see what they ought to see. I'm not going to be bogged down in a lot. You see, Mr. Bobby Marshall is tragic for the Democratic Labor Party. You got to deal with him. Don't worry, coming. They're talking all kind of talk and all kind of whatever. We're going to see. It's going to be brought to a closure. And there's going to be the general election.
That's not what I asked you.
But I answer how you want to answer.
I asked you, what are you hearing on the ground from people as they react to the fact that we have had this period foisted upon us?
Foisted what? Is a period news and news?
But what are you hearing? Tell me.
I'm not hearing anything. Something.
You're hearing anything remarkable?
You're forcing me to say that I'm hearing it.
You're hearing anything remarkable? You're ducking. You're running.
But no, I hear that the government's going to return to office.
Is that the truth?
But that's what I'm hearing.
Is that the truth?
But you want me.
Why did you run so far and for so long before you could say that?
So far, you were just run so far. You know, anybody know me to run anywhere? I don't need other than Mr. Alex. The government, I regard you particularly, though. Let me say to you, I tell you what you're hearing. I don't mind about all that talk.
Somebody asked me to put this question to you. This is wrong. What would have been your position if a BLP government had done just this?
Not a word, because there's certain things I don't expend my energy in. And you know, I'm the type of caller that there's certain things I won't subscribe to, period. Like, for instance, you think I would knock the government if it was the Barbados, the party in office, forming the government about the sub-course church thing? Not at all. You've known this. There's certain things I don't touch on, because there's certain things that nothing to do with no government. You know that.
You didn't touch on
no government, period.
You didn't touch on the Greenland project years ago.
Yeah, I did.
What's the difference between the two of them?
Oh, the Greenland project could have been avoided. all out of all the advice given, etc. This, of course, thing is one you are for.
The discussion about maintenance in relation to the sewage project, you don't think that is relevant?
I don't know of any maintenance. I don't know of. Yeah, let me tell you.
You're not easy at all, boy.
Listen,
I can now remember why I must have told you something that led you to believe that you were remarkable. I tell you, it had to be in the extreme. You're remarkable because of the way that you set about to defend the Democratic Labour Party against all the evidence that may be in front of your face. You will still find an excuse.
Well, at least that says I still have some kind of capacity. But let me tell you.
Commitment and loyalty to the Democratic Labour Party.
And resilience.
Yes. According to you, relentlessly so.
You're a good gentleman, man. You would always be my buddy.
So, well, you know, I genuinely believe that Barbados is a country where people ought to be able to have diverging views on politics and stuff like that.
You've always advocated.
Without necessarily being enemies against each other.
And
whenever we finish, we must be able to walk away as friends.
I resent
people who are trying to take Barbados down a different path. I believe that they are enemies of the state more than anything else.
Exactly.
You know, because if you're going to do that, you're going to create a certain degree of division and animosity in Barbados.
Right.
That ultimately can do us a lot of harm.
That argues no good.
No. So that's why you see where I communicate with people like you. I mean, we have different views from time to time.
Yeah.
But it must never take us down the path where we cannot, speak as friends.
You know, my hallmark is decorum. You know that.
Well, that's I admire that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Good morning. It's 11:16. Welcome to the program. Hello.
Hello, David Ellis. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I am fine. David, if I had to wait for a date for 45 minutes, by the time he came to pick me up, I'd have my makeup washed off. I'd be in my bed watching a movie. I've been holding on for 45 minutes. Too long. What do you have to say to that?
Because you make it seem as though if you had to take off your makeup and go to bed waiting for me, that I would be opposed.
No comment. No comment. David, I knew the young lady who was lost her life on Saturday. I was one of her clients. The last time I saw her was just before Easter. I went to get my nails done. She was a quiet, reserved young lady. She listened to her gospel music. She was religious. And I am really distraught over what happened on Saturday. As a matter of fact, I was supposed to go downtown to have my nails retouched, but I got caught up on the telephone and calls, and then a bulletin came over the internet saying that something had happened on Swan Street. And then I heard on VOB. I instantly, I'm always on VOB listening, and I heard that. Anyways, my condolences to her mother, who I met when she was pregnant 6 years ago. She came up from Guyana to see her daughter and see about her welfare and to her sons. David, when I reflect on all these domestic crimes, these murders within the framework of a marriage, I have always felt, and not only here, because I was very active when I lived in Montreal, I was very active in New York when it came to women's affairs and children's affairs. I'm not political. I don't even pretend to be political. But I am socially active. I feel that any time a woman goes to the police and says that her boyfriend or her husband or her neighbor is threatening to kill her, it should be thoroughly investigated. That man should be brought in. If they have a criminal psychologist there, experienced police officers, he should be thoroughly checked out before he is released into the general public. I don't know where a law is going to be legislated to protect women more. Because I know right now, no religion, no judicial system, no man can prevent any other man from committing a murder. If his intent to do so. And I think our women need more protection. I really do.
Well, you know, if you look at the trend, it isn't just about the women. It is also, you know, there are a lot of people here talk about this thing about same-sex relationships and stuff. But a lot of that is happening even in the same-sex relationships. And it is because of the stigma associated with it that a lot of that is buried. If you took all of them together, then you would see the real magnitude of the problem. It is not covered up that much in more developed countries in the United Kingdom and in the United States. The two sets of figures come together. And it is a question of trying to get to the bottom of what are some of the predisposing factors. Now, I agree with you 100% on the whole question of the intervention where people feel threatened and have they believe that they have good reason to feel threatened. Because that is a period where people should be brought in and basically you treat it like a cooling off period and even if necessary,
exactly.
A counseling period as well, trying to get to the bottom of what is causing this person to feel so fearful and creating an environment where they can do something that they will regret at the end of the day. Well, most people do. There are some people who don't. But we have to be working on this at a variety of levels in the society. You know, I'm one of the people who feel that, for instance, that we need to look at corporal punishment. I mean, it wasn't something that I felt strongly about before. But with the past,
I'm against it.
Yeah.
Totally against it.
Right, because it is one of the factors responsible for creating the animal in people, that people who have been beaten as children also see beating as the natural response. And the Barbadian society has long been one that has seen that as the way to solve problems.
And religion. Don't forget religion, because even in the marriage vows where it says, to death do we part. The way some people interpret that it is beyond me. How you could say, till death do we part? And some men really believe it. They don't believe in anything else in the Bible, thou shalt not kill, but they do believe in, till death do we part, one way or another. You know, and I'm not picking on men, but it is the men in this country that are killing women. It is not women killing women, and it is not women who are killing men unless in self-defense. And if the police are not going to protect us, then they need to allow these women that are in these hostile, threatening positions to allow to go to the police station, get a permit for a gun, and teach them how, train them how to use that gun and protect that gun from their children or any other intruder. that's what we have to do. Because as a woman, I've had it enough.
That's akin to the President of the United States saying let the teachers take guns to school.
No. Totally different.
What's the difference?
Because the children in the United States and Canada, there is no corporal punishment. You know? And a lot of times, there's always one that slips through the cracks. But children are psychologically tested at a very young age, and then again 2 or 3 years later, and then again. So you really know your children that you're dealing with in that school. And if there is a problem, yes, a lot of mothers get offended because they believe that because they have a misbehaved child that it's their fault. But sometimes that child just needs correction, and I don't believe in the corporal punishment way. There's other ways that we can deal with children today without resorting to corporal punishment.
There are so many factors that are driving a wedge in relationships.
But it's the factors that we allow to intercept raising a child.
Let me suggest something, another dimension to you. You know how many young women in Barbados are able, they've gone to school, they've been ambitious, they've been able to get a job, a good job. Even having one or two children will not stop a woman in Barbados from being able to move. Let me make the point, to move on. Huh? But what happens is that in many instances, women are attracted to men who are not as ambitious, they are not as well educated, they are not as capable as the women. Even men who are older than those women lack a certain drive and initiative. Then add to that issues such as unemployment and stuff. And a man can find himself in a situation where he feels as though he becomes heavily dependent upon that woman because she becomes the principal breadwinner in the home. Even if he has a job, when he loses the job, it's even worse.
Of course.
Okay. And with the passage of time, the woman becomes more mature. She moves further on. She leaves him. In a sense, he is left behind. And a lot of men are not able to cope at all. We talk about the guy who will go there and do what this guy has done for whatever reason. But how many other people are not doing that, but are in their own way suffering? And by the same token, the women in those relationships are also suffering. They feel as though they're held hostage in situations where they really wish they could escape and get away from this environment and just go and look after their children and don't have to deal with this man and that sort of thing. These are the real stories that people have out there.
Why can't the men feel that way too? I can't deal with the responsibility of my children and my wife, and I am leaving this country and going somewhere else for better opportunities.
For better opportunities? You know, basically, when you listen to the news around you and stuff like that, it doesn't sound as though there are better opportunities. Look at this story we brought you this morning about how the British initially were dealing with people who migrated to that country years ago. Even those types of people, the world is being reshaped by the likes of Trump and Viktor Orban in Hungary and people like that, right-wingers who are saying, you know, you weren't born here. There's no place for you here, all right? The government of Antigua just tell people from CARICOM countries, if you come inside here and you can't find a job and you can't make a contribution, go home. You see?
I don't blame them. Right. I don't blame them because they can't burden it. They can't take the burden anymore. They can't. It's just like us with our deportees. We can't take these people coming back, but this government allows it. This government allows to say no. I will put them back on the plane and send them back to where they live. This is 2 months old. That's what they need to do.
Caribbean governments have done their best to resist this, but the people were born here.
One more question I have for you, David. We were speaking about corruption yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's fair that when you apply for a visa to the United States, you have to pay $400, and if they reject your application, that you But that's that's corruption right there. And I don't know why this government isn't fighting to change that. At least give them back 60% of their money.
Well, let's look at it this way. When the Barbados government imposes its fees on other people, it would balk at the idea that anybody else would try to tell us how much we should charge.
I didn't pay any fees to come here.
Pardon?
Not a cent. Not one red cent did I pay to come here.
Well,
I did was give my mother and father's marriage certificate, my birth certificate, and apply
Since then, people have been paying fees. If you didn't, other people have to pay. And therefore, for the Barbados government to tell the United States what it should charge would really be considered to be presumptuous.
Yeah. Well, I'm going on the beach, and I'm going to ask every non-black person who's living here how much they paid to get into Barbados.
Okay.
One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible, David, is it legal for you to do a poll on the radio where people just call in? They can only say one thing, what party they think is going to get in. Not who they're going to vote for, but what party they feel is going to get in.
I don't know. We would have to take advice on that from somebody who is a specialist in that particular area to make sure that, you know, it, at the end of the day, it would come across as being credible. You can do a poll, but you know that normally what you would call it a random sampling, which means that you can't really take this as any serious poll. You know, it is not scientific. If you were trying to do a scientific poll, then I suppose one day we will reach the stage of being able to do that type of poll. It depends upon the age group too.
I mean,
you could do a lot of stuff.
No, just a general one. Just general.
Yeah.
Anybody. All your regular callers. Just
mm-hmm.
call up one day and just go UPP, BLP, and they have to hang up. That's it. That's all we want to hear.
Okay, ma'am.
Have a good
Pleasure
day.
Pleasure hearing you.
Oh, one more thing. When am I going to see you?
Listen,
it's been a
after
long
we,
time, David.
The whole way that this thing began today scares me. Because I really don't want you to have to wait too long to see me.
The last time I saw you were with your wife. I want to see you, and I want to see my Dennis Johnson. Do you hear me?
Okay, ma'am.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
It is an afternoon. It's 11:31.
Well, good 11:31 to you.
But trust me, you're not going to be here until afternoon.
Well, you never can tell.
Well, I'm telling you now.
All right. Now, I want to raise some points out of that conversation you just had with Ms. P. But I also want to take time out to extend condolence to the family of Vic Buddy Boy Booster on his passing. At some later date, I will give an account of what I've known of him through the years that we have been associated. And probably there have been many firsts that I think the public of Barbados need to know some of the things that he would have done. Let me come back. Mr. Ellis, there has to be a balance. You know what is the buzzword between a relationship and some relationships now in Barbados? That if what Ms. P said just now in relation to complaining to the police, then the courts will be open all day, all night, just for the statements coming from both ends. This word, you want killing. You want killing. Has now become the buzzword in relationships, even in a general understanding.
But if that is supposed to be the general drift of Barbadian society, then we're in real trouble.
Well, I'm being honest with you, Mr. Ellis, and I believe you would have encountered it at sometimes, and people who
But people say to each other in relationships, "You want killing?"
Yeah, even in a little argument, you know, you want killing. You know, you want killing, and this is normal. I think.
So, what does it tell you?
It tells you that we have got a serious problem. Both ways are balanced. Now, I say that to say this, right? I believe part of our problem is the blame or the level that some men in the society have to go through. Now, obviously, blame would have to go to some men because of what statistics have shown. But there are cases in Barbados where there have to be a balance as far as the female is concerned. Now, my feeling about this, Mr. Ellis, that a relationship should go through a period of anger management. I believe both people should at least do a session or at least be counseled on anger management, because a relationship is different from a marriage, or the relationship is love and kissing neck and that type of thing, and then eventually then it gets to the extent of accusations and serious statements. So you need to have an anger management control in this point. And I believe people understand what I'm saying, that everything is good in the early stages of a relationship. You're the sweetest man on the earth, you're the sweetest woman that God has put down here, but let something happen. Then you realize that somewhere along the line there's a desperate situation between both parties. Now, how are we going to solve this? Women knows very well that they have told men, you know, you want killing. Men know very well that they have said to the women partners, you know, it would kill you and that. Whether they get to the point of doing it, which has not been happening, in some cases it has happened, but they would like Barbados to understand there is a balance. Men feel less taken care of when they hear what some things are being said. And women know very well that it's a balance. Women know that it's a balance. Women know that sometimes they are the aggressors in a relationship. Some men went from the aggression of some women, and some women persist and continue that aggression until it comes to a point that the separation does not end the way it should end, that the separation ends in turmoil, in the dispute, vice versa. I hear people say that men can't take it down. Women can't take it down either. There's some women who have made other women in a relationship with that particular man miserable. There's some men who have made other women in a relationship with the other man miserable. So how are we going to solve this, Mr. Ellis? How are we going to get to the point where the knife is not the answer, the gun is not the answer, but the situation is that a relationship means that if you cannot get away, you have to separate.
I have views at times that may be considered controversial views in trying to deal with some of the issues. This person says to me, are you going to link this violence to corporal punishment? Let us categorize punishment. Please don't lump abuse with proper punishment. Proper punishment, the person says. Because if that is the case, 90% of Barbadian parents are abusers. Yes, I am going to say to you that to a large extent, that is the genesis of a lot of what we are seeing in these societies. And that the sooner we recognize that the first order of business is not to punish your son or your daughter by slapping and beating up, the better the society will be in the long run, because we are going to be encouraged to find other means of problem solving. And I see around me from time to time, you see it, that even if it is not hitting a child, slapping a child or something like that, the first thought that comes to your mind when the child is not doing what you want it to do is to say, you know what, you need to be punished. Now, there's another, the psychologist will tell you that there's another way to deal with that. And that is through what I call positive reinforcement. But we fall back on that which we were brought up that way, and that's what we do. So I don't accept this argument that the person has put up here about the proper punishment, because to a large extent they are seeking to reinforce that which many people in Barbados want to continue. And it's not just that, it is the gender conflict in the country, the need to have far more sensitization on both sides. I mean, it is a huge problem that we are facing in the country. We are lucky that we don't have as many conflicts of this type as other countries. But if we don't start now, we could end up having more of it in the future. So that sensitization on all fronts is where we need to go.
Let me give you one, Mr. Ellis. I want to use what I've said earlier, the point of anger management. No, I think you are well aware. You are well aware. If you're not, I'm telling you that a lot of anger exists, even in those from the kindergarten schools all the way through. I believe that it is at this stage of someone's life, children fight at the day nursery, they bite one at the day nursery, they kiss one at the day nursery, they do several things. And it passes through. I believe that we should see anger management control from as early in a child's life. Instead of waiting till that child goes to puberty, and waiting till that child goes to adolescence, where that child comes along and sees different things, then it practices.
But, Mark, if you are a parent dragging a child through Bridgetown or in the supermarket, cursing it in the worst possible way and slapping it up all over the place, embarrassing it in front of other people, what do you expect from that child? What anger management? The parents now are not managing their own anger.
Well, I agree with you. But some attempt. And I like what I'm hearing so far this morning. And I personally believe that there is a balance. And what I told you earlier, Mr. Ellis, about this buzzword, I'm sure that if you put that out there as a survey, people will tell you, yes, that seems to be a buzzword.
Well, I understand that point. But I hear that a lot in the general society. You hear it especially between men and between men, where people may disagree and that sort of thing, and a fella casually makes that kind of comment. But for you to tell me that it is now a norm between people who are in relationships, boy, if we're in that, I don't think so. But
they're not conscious of saying it has become so into the words, into the set of what they have to say, that sometimes they're not even conscious. You know how many men and women apologize to the relationship for that statement? You tell me you can kill me? Oh, I tell so. I'm sorry, you don't. And I'm sure what I'm saying. But let's move on. I want to ask you a question. What is your opinion on the closure of the Supreme Court?
Well, I know that the Supreme Court was facing problems from day one. I think I heard the president of the Bar Association articulate a position that I had expressed here, I think, last Friday, that there were problems with that from very early. And I think we need to look at that in a broader context. We need to examine what are the items that are being used
Not only the cleaning chemicals.
You also have to look at the material that was used to build that particular complex as well. All right? But complaints were being raised about it from the time this Democratic Labour Party administration came to office, which means it did not begin with the Democratic Labour Party. It had, because it was, this place was built before the DLP came to office. So it was at that stage that we seem to have had some issues. Now, what has happened since then is also relevant. And then it comes right back to a broader, really big challenge that Barbados is facing. We have too many buildings that are giving us trouble. And it is not just, part of it may be maintenance, but part of it may also have to do with how these buildings have been constructed and with what. You know, so that is not being discussed. All we hear in Barbados all the time is, we got too many sick buildings. And but the why? Do we need a special unit that goes in there and examines the why?
Care stethoscope.
No, but you got engineers and specialists in this particular area, environmental specialists, who really need to do a proper audit of the main government buildings that have been afflicted by this. This is not adequate. I look down the road, and I wonder whatever is going to happen with the old NIS building.
Tell me if you agree with this one. I had a discussion with a senior lawyer, and I will share it with you. Obviously the courts, district courts, are still in operation across Barbados, whether District C, District D, they're still in operation. The Supreme Court, as we know, are suffering the closure. But this senior lawyer told me that the court never closes. He says, obvious the court can close, but the matters of the court are continuous. So I'm asking the question, since that is the case, where the Supreme Court, the assizes are now going on, and that you've got several battles going on within the Supreme Court. And this means a readjustment of dates, a resetting of dates and pushing back. So the lawyer said to me, you know, Williams, I want to let you know this, right? That the law, the process of law must continue, regardless of whether it's kept various standing, regardless if it's kept in Independence Square or to flag or whatever, maybe, but to tell us that the court is closed is not the way.
No, well, the point is that they're going to, I believe they're talking about the building, but you know, they're going to have to find some alternative way of accommodating sessions of the court. And that's what, that will be government's challenge. If we fail to do that, then the backlog is going to build up, and that in itself can create some additional challenges for us in an environment where we're already saying how difficult it is to do business in Barbados, and the court is at the center of the process of doing business. Thank you very much.
Good discussion. Thank you.
Down to brass tacks. Hello. Turn your radio down, please.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine, thank you. I just wanted to say that the biggest abuse that children are experiencing today, in my opinion, is not physical abuse, but neglect. But I didn't really call the program to talk about that. But neglect, to me, is the reason for the behavior of children in schools and how they relate to teachers and so on. And it's largely because of a lot of parents today do not like parenting and have no interest in parenting. And so the children are left to raise themselves. But what I wanted to talk to you about, I heard you asking Raul what the people are saying on the ground about this 90-day extension. And he was very hesitant in giving you a response, and finally he didn't. But I want to let you know what the people are saying, some of the things that I hear the people are saying. The people are very upset, and they are saying that the Prime Minister has abused the power of Parliament. The people are saying...
Abused it how?
He has abused it. They believe that as a lawyer, that he recognized that, this is what the people are saying. They say as a lawyer, he recognized that there was a 90-day loophole that he could use, and he has sought to use it.
So how does that constitute abuse?
Abuse meaning that there is no reason for him to have a 90-day extension.
There is no reason?
People are saying that there is no reason, as far as we as Barbadians can see, there is no reason whatsoever why a government that has had 5 years, 5 plus 5 years, should need an extra 90-day period.
Well,
people are saying that some of them have not seen their parliamentary representatives since Parliament has closed. And therefore, how could these people be working?
Okay, let me ask you this question. Because you know you are in the realm of politics, and I am hearing your voice with a degree of repetition and regularity that says to me that you may very well be one of those out there on the campaign trail.
I'm not, though.
You may not be. But at least in this forum, you can be, too. The truth is, though, that a lot depends upon where you are politically. If you are a BLP or another opposition party member, you can come to the conclusion that you've reached. If you are a Dem, this 90-day period is one in which you can use it to do a lot of things to bolster your chances at the polls. For instance, you can create some jobs out there. I see people doing more debushing right now. Maybe it's just my imagination, but they might have been debushing ever since. But I get you can start to feel that this is a period where things like that can happen. You could use certain state agencies in a way that could help to, create an environment where the Democratic Labour Party's chances could be better in an election. And to that extent, therefore, politically, that wouldn't be seen as an abuse and a misuse. That is they will tell you that is the way politics is done. And that the Barbados Labour Party might not have gone into the 90-day period, but there have been times when leading up to an election, they did likewise. You know, use the state apparatus to see if you can use the taxpayers' money to bolster your political chances. So I am still grappling with your notion that this constitutes an abuse. I don't think that from what you have told me so far, I can actually describe it as such. So proceed.
Mr. Harris, the people, I was continuing to tell you some of the things the people are saying. The people are saying it is an abuse of power, that there is no real reason for the government to be given. The people are saying also that the government says that it didn't have money to pay the civil servant. But this 90-day period will give the Prime Minister an extra $65,000 in his hand. At the same time when he cannot give the civil servants of this country that he praised the other day a cent.
You got to stick a pin there because we got to go to the regional roundup. So you can stay on the line until we come back. This is Down to Brass Tacks.